scripture reading today comes from Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. Then we'll read verses 12 through 19. I love the Lord because he hears my request for mercy. I call out to him as long as I live because he listens closely to me. What can I give back to the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? I'll lift up the cup of salvation. I'll call on the Lord's name. I'll keep the promises I made to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. The death of the Lord's faithful is a costly loss in his eyes. Oh yes, Lord, I am definitely your servant. I am your servant and the son of your female servant. You've freed me from my chains. So I'll offer sacrifice of thanksgiving to you, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. I'll keep the promises I made to the Lord in the presence of all God's people, in the courtyards of the Lord's house, which is the center of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Earlier this week, on the 9th of June, we marked our 148th anniversary of our beloved congregation, St. Luke's United Church of Christ. Known in its founding as the German Evangelical St. Lucas Church of Independence, Missouri. As that social media post was being prepared to recognize that event, it sparked an interesting conversation. Maybe you've already done the math in your head. The question was posed, what are we going to do for our 150th anniversary? We should be thinking about it. We can't let it slip up on us. We might want to do some things leading up to it. We have to start planning for it now. I concur. 150 years is going to be a notable milestone and deserves all the jubilance we might be able to muster. But what about this anniversary? 148 years seems worthy of its own celebratory response and cannot get lost in anticipation of something bigger for the lack of 2 brief years. 2 years. That means a space of time from now until the big one is 0.0135% of our past. That's almost there. And it's a long time, worthy of a celebration in its own right. What are we going to do, though, for 150th anniversary? That's a good question for tomorrow and the upcoming weeks and months. The pressing question for today is, how can we celebrate 148 years of faith and community? What can we offer in thanksgiving to our God, whose faithful, loving kindness has been poured out abundantly upon this congregation across an amazing period of time? Think of all the baptisms, confirmations, weddings, funerals. Think of the many struggles that have been turned into joyous worship, victorious expressions of our God. Think of the nurture received by so many souls, ours among them. Think of the many hours of service and ministry, of God's comfort and hope to souls lingering in the darkness of isolation, fear, and sorrow. What can we offer today by way of praise and thanksgiving for the abundance of God's watch care, guidance, strength, power, and blessing through these 148 years? Well, as so often is the case, the psalm of the day offers us what seems to be a perfectly timed word as we ponder this question. In this morning's psalm, the psalmist asks the self-same question, which is posed as we gather for worship. What can I give back to the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? Says verse 12. Psalm 116 is situated smack dab in the middle of a series of thanksgiving psalms. Songs that were sung by the faithful in worship, giving thanks to God for God's steadfast mercy and loving kindness. this psalm, along with the full collection, was sung in celebratory tune at Passover in commemoration of God's mighty deliverance of the Hebrews. This psalm, however, stands out in that it offers not only words of praise to be sung to God in worship, it seems to remind the people of why praise is fitting, providing a foundation as to why and how to celebrate the goodness that God has shown to God's people. The opening verse of Psalm 116 seems to get right to the point of both why and how to respond as we celebrate God's goodness in worship. I love the Lord, the psalmist says, because he hears my request for mercy. Most Thanksgiving psalms begin with guiding the worshipers to renew their vows of trust in God, to seek God, or to wait on God. Psalm 116 opens with just, well, a declaration of love that is unique across the psalms. Herein, we are given the best and highest expression of celebrating God's goodness by, in our praise, giving voice to the love we have for our God. We will see some other expressions of how to appropriately express our joy, but it is in the voicing of our love for God that is foundational and formational to all the rest that might be included in our celebrations. Indeed, we will plan and prepare for the big one with this truth ever in our mind, in the forefront, for all the planning and preparation we might muster. Without love, as Paul says, has an empty ring and is little more than a clanging cymbal. The opening verse in this psalm not only guides us in how to celebrate God's goodness, it also offers us a reason to do so. The psalmist said, I love the Lord because he hears my request for mercy. He continues in the second verse of the psalm, I'll call out to the Lord as long as I live because he listens closely to me. We celebrate today by voicing our love for our God. And we love the Lord because our God hears our cries for mercy and listens closely to us. It is one thing to receive blessings, which we can easily attribute to the powerful and loving hand of our God. We celebrate each one of those blessings. But here's the thing. We love our God because God is an attentive God who hears and listens closely to us. We celebrate and we look forward in faith because we know God has been and will remain attentive, loving, and present with us. What can we give back to the Lord for all the good things he's done for us? This attentive presence of God is met best by God's people voicing our love to and for that kind of God. The psalmist goes on in answering his own question. I'll lift up a cup of salvation. I'll call to the Lord's name. I'll keep the promises I made to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Among the many implications of lifting up the cup of salvation is that of offering a toast in celebration of God's sustaining and delivering presence, naming and voicing all the things God has done, forgetting none and letting no one forget anything God has done. Blessings that, when received, seemed unforgettable. But without the people giving voice and remembering them, the insatiable needs and the accumulation of year upon year upon year begin to cloud the memory and the joy of the many bygone manifestations of God's abiding and attentive presence with us. Validating the truth that worship remains incomplete until there has been a new and renewed commitment by the worshipers of God, the psalmist recommits himself to keep the promises he made to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Any celebration of God's blessing begins with voicing our love for and to our God. It, by necessity, must also celebrate who God is and what God has done by voicing the ways God's presence has been made known. But let our worship and our celebration of God's goodness never fall short of renewing the vows we have made to be God's people, honoring, serving God in our worship, and in the service of our ministry together that makes God's love known to others. The psalmist here is speaking primarily to his people, the community of the faithful. But what is the psalmist telling them that they don't already know? Beyond the history of God's faithfulness to their people in ages past, each person within the voice of the psalmist has undoubtedly cried to the Lord themselves. Without a doubt, God heard their cries for mercy and listened to them. In essence, the psalmist is preaching to the choir as we come together this morning. Not unlike any other Sunday morning, each of us already knows the goodness of our God. We are lovers of our God. When we are called by scripture, hymns, and word to give God our thanks and praise, we are hearing nothing new. We have all known God to be attentive. Every one of us has known the mercy of our God. Together, we've been blessed as a congregation by God's abiding presence with us. Am I preaching to the choir this morning? Beyond giving voice to God's goodness, the psalmist's work is intended to move the people to sing with him, to find their voice in celebrating love for God. In her recent Christian Century article, Kelly Brown Douglas writes, "The purpose of a choir is not simply to gather. It is to sing. And if this is a moment, this is a moment that demands our voices." I would say all of them. We find ourselves in a day so filled with noise that it is easy to let our voices fall silent, lost in the abyss, echoing from places God's presence is ignored or has been forgotten. In a day when the story of God's loving kindness and compassion increasingly become a foreign song, and when the voice of the church is usurped by cries of division and calls to do battle against God's own people, celebrating God's goodness isn't just preaching to the choir. It's a rallying cry to lift up the cup of salvation and keep the promises we have made together in the presence of God's people. Celebrating any anniversary begins with all of us giving voice to our love for God. But no celebration is complete until all of us give voice to renewing the promises we've made to be God's people. Let us keep on keeping on, and let us do it together as St. Luke's United Church of Christ, because we love the Lord. Amen.